All right. Let's open our Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. And turn this one off for a little bit, brother, just a minute. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4. Now, we've been having some real good study here. And this chapter 4 here, we're going to move through it pretty fast tonight. You feel free, since this is a study, to raise your hand, ask questions, make comment, help me out, ever how you want to. All right, let's start it. Chapter number 4, verse 1. So I return. Now, he ain't been nowhere. I mean, he didn't leave town or something. What he means is when I returned was he had done talk about all this stuff, had this stuff happen, and then I got my mind back on what I was saying, what he's talking about. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears. Boy, think about that. The tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Now there's a verse that you could talk all night about. Solomon looked and he said, I saw these people that were oppressed. And he said they didn't have no comforter, and they cried their eyes out. And on the side of the oppressor was power. The people that were oppressing them were in power. History's full of examples of that verse right there. We were talking about it over there today at the church a little bit. I'm not an expert on this. There might be somebody in here who is, but the Holocaust. There are those anti-Semitic people who try to deny the Holocaust ever happened, but it did happen. And they said Hitler had 6 million Jews exterminated. They're trying to claim now it was only 2 million. Like, wow. But 2 million is a lot of people. 6 million. There's only 3,000 died on 9/11, and we still ain't quit talking about it. 6 million. And they took those people in there, and they oppressed them, buddy. They oppressed them. Most of us have never lived under much oppression. But you know, there's a lot of oppression still in the world tonight. There's whole families, whole tribes of people that are oppressed by people who rule over them. We don't have slavery here in America anymore, but slavery is alive and well around this world. All colors, the people of Sudan are being tortured and put in slavery. They said those Nazi Jews or Germans took those Jews and they'd take them in there and put them in a 6x6 cell. 6x6. And you just lay there on the concrete floor or dirt floor and no drain. No way to use the bathroom, no place to use the bathroom. And you just left you in there. And you could hear people screaming and crying at night. They might throw you enough food just to keep you alive. And did you know what Solomon said? I considered the oppressed. Let me ask you something tonight. If that happened to us tonight, and they come into Morganton, somebody and drug us off and put us in concentration camps, we don't even want to think about stuff like that. We're living in a dream world. We're living in America. That can't happen. But it has happened. And it is happening to people just like us. If they drug us off and put us in a cell tonight, and you beside the wickedest man in Burke County, what's the difference between you and him? He can't eat, you can't eat. He can't leave, you can't leave. He can't get no help, you can't get no help. The only difference between you and a lost man is you have the Holy Spirit inside you to help you go through stuff and he don't. That's really all the difference there is. The difference between us and a lost person is we have a comforter and they don't. But see, he said they had no comforter. We, no matter what happens with us, we can make it through by the grace of God. I heard that they said some of them people, they got their kids, they tied them up, they got their kids, and the last thing they saw was a Catholic nun dragging their kid off to a convent. And then they killed them like that. Last thing some of them saw was their kids being took off to be tortured. They tied them down. They put them in sacks of rattlesnakes. They said they'd take some of them men and put them in a box. I'm sorry. Put them in a box like this thing right here. And this box right here would be full of nails about this size. Nails going through it. And it puts you in there. You could, if you move this way, you're stuck. If you try to relax, you're stuck. And leave you in there about 2 weeks. Throw you a piece of bread. You'd lose your mind. You'd scream. You'd all. He said, I considered them that are oppressed. You know what me and you ought to do? We ought to raise our hands and thank God. Now, he's been good to us. He's been good to us, people. We're living in America. Stuff like that don't happen no more. It is happening. around this world. There's people in America that's tied up. I mean, you hear about it all the time on the news. People tie them up, lock them in closets. I mean, you hear these crazy stories. We ought to consider the oppressed. They tied them women down who were pregnant. They'd slice their stomach open. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs and let the pigs come and eat the baby out of their stomach while it's still alive. And they'd die. They would die. You'd have to be full of the devil to even think up something like that to do to a human being. You ever mashed your fingernail in a car door? You know, or with a hammer or something? Son, it'll turn purple, blue, orange, yellow. And it turns, you know, your fingernail finally comes. Man, it hurts. Can you imagine going into a jail cell, taking a hammer, busting that finger. And you're in there all night. No Tylenol, no pillow to lay down on. Nothing, no way to get no help. And they come back the next day. You still a Christian? Yes, sir. Stick that next finger up there. Bam! They come back the next day. You still believe in that Jesus you're always talking about? He ain't helping you none. Where's your Jesus? You still believe in Him? Yes, I believe in Him. Stick your next finger up there. Bam! And we whine because somebody said something to our baby in the nursery. Or somebody got our parking place. We are the biggest bunch of wimpy baby Christians that our world's ever seen. Brother, there's some people been oppressed in this world. And I mean, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it'll put some things into perspective for you. He said the power was on the side of the oppressors, but they had no comforter. When this election comes up in November, and the Lord might be getting ready to give us a little taste of what some of the other Christians went down through the centuries. Most of us have never known no real persecution. I've been cussed and had my name spray painted on the road, spill way over at the lake, you know, and had phone calls and threatened to burn my house down and cut my brake lines. I've had that done and had a knife pulled on me and stuff like that. But I ain't never had no persecution like these people that in our past. I mean, if you ain't never, somebody ain't never threatened to whip you or beat you up, Lord, you probably ain't never really took much of a stand. God. Boy, it's getting quiet in here now. I mean, brother, we are some bunch, ain't we? We are some bunch. I'm telling you, he said they had no comforter. Look at verse 2. Wherefore I praise the dead. Boy, you talk about a pessimist. I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. He said, man, people be better off dead. What a pessimistic view of life. Yea, better is he than both they which have not yet been, who have not seen the evil work that is done unto the Son. So man's better off that ain't even been born. You know, somebody asked me, I believe it was Sunday before last, right back there, might have been one of y'all. Somebody asked me, was babies who were aborted, do they go to heaven? And of course, you know, I've heard that argument one way back and forth for years. I've heard it said that of course they all go to heaven and their little spirits are up there and they're in a million and a half a year going to heaven from America. And then I've heard other people argue, say no, they don't have a soul until they're born because man became a living soul when the breath of life entered into him, blah, you know, so forth and so on. Now I don't know. I want to believe that they all go to heaven to be with the Lord. Is that what most of y'all want to believe? I want to believe that. And they sure don't go to hell, that's for sure. That's for positive. If they go anywhere, it's heaven to be with the Lord. But you know what? That verse fits them. It's better for them never even seen this world. Now, abortion's wrong and murder, but boy, you talk about a free ticket out. They got one, really. Them little babies got murdered. I'm not saying I'm glad it's happened, but they didn't even ever have to see this mess and went straight to glory. Amen? Isn't that something? And he said there about in verse 2, or verse 3, better are they which hath not yet been. They never even had to live here. They never even had to see this world. They said one time, Fanny Crosby, she's blind, you know, and somebody said something to her one time. I forget how the story, but it's something like this. They said, boy, I feel sorry for you. You ain't never seen nothing. And she said, you know what? Don't you feel sorry for me. She said, you have to see all the mess in this world. You have to see all the sin. You see all the suffering. She said, the first thing I'll ever see is Jesus Christ. Whew. When you look at it that way, being blind all your life ain't really so bad. First thing you ever lay your eyes on would be a spotless Son of God with a radiant beam coming out of a throne of solid gold, brother, and His glory beaming out at you. That's not so bad, being blind for a few years. That's the first thing you ever seen. Anybody won't stop me? I've done said a lot about aborted babies and everything. Anybody? Okay. All right. Verse 4. Again, I considered all travail and every right work for this is a man is envied of his neighbor. He said, people envy each other and jealous. This is vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Would anybody like to comment on that verse? The fool foldeth his hands together. I can get that part. You know how they do? How these guys do on TV? Watch out for anybody that prays like that right there. I don't know who started that, but that ain't the way you're supposed to pray. Now all their fingers have to touch like that, you know. They teach you to do that when you're a little kid. God is great. God is good. You do it on the table. But foldeth his hands. What about he eateth his own flesh? Where's Brother Derek when we need him? Okay, he did. He always asks you, what do you think? Amen. He foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Bible scholar, Brother Jason. Mose, you've been to Bible college. John. That's true. That's true. That's what the Catholic Church teaches, that they're eating the flesh of Jesus when they take the Mass. Y'all do know that, don't you? Every Sunday when they give the Mass or serve the Mass, they believe it's Jesus' body they're eating. That's true. Spiritually speaking. Andy, are you calling Brother James or is anything? Was it? That's Andy's special ring. What he told me. All right. Spiritually speaking, we consume our own flesh by our sins. That's true. Anybody else? He eateth his own flesh. Well, you can't say it's spiritual without doing it privately because it don't say nothing about it being spiritual. Who had your hand raised? Well, they did eat the kids. It does say they eat the kids. But see, the reason you believe it like that, Brother Ray, is because that's what it says. You're not at liberty to make the Bible say something it don't say unless it tells you. You can't say something spiritual just because you can't understand it unless it tells you it's spiritual. See what I'm saying? That's how people get private interpretation. Well, I think it means, it's okay to think that, but you can't. A Bible interpretation has to be a scriptural interpretation. Anybody else? All right, let's work on that one for a few days. Let's see if we can get it for next Wednesday. Work on that. Go home and study on it. All right, verse 6. Better is a handful with quietness than with both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Now, everybody in here, if you're past 30, 25, 20, you believe that and know that. You're better off with a handful with a whole bunch of stuff and a bunch of hell all the time. I mean, if you've ever lived where they was fussing and fighting, and some of you grew up where there's maybe mom and dad screaming and cussing and fighting all the time, and maybe in your own home like that, you know, you're better off in a trailer park in a run-down house or an apartment somewhere with a roof falling in on you than in $500,000 home with a bunch of turmoil and fussing and fighting all the time. Amen? You sure are. Anybody want to comment on that? All right? Verse 7. Then I returned, and I saw vanity under the sun. Now, here in the next few verses, we're going to give a truth here. We're not going to be long tonight. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Man's all by himself. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. All right, now, look at it. He's a man all by himself. He ain't got no wife. He ain't got no kids. He don't have a friend. Yet there's no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches, Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Let's look at this verse for a minute, and I want you to help me. That verse is saying, growing old alone is a tragedy. Everybody needs a family. They need somebody. Did you know there's thousands of people in New York City, out in California and stuff, living in an old apartment somewhere and don't have one soul? Not no kids. No, I had one of my aunts didn't have any kids and never did have no kids. Her and her husband was married 40-something years and never had no kids. And they both died with cancer a few years ago. But I always felt sorry for them because, you know, when you get old and up in years, that's when your kid's supposed to come back and be a blessing to you and help you and everything. You know, it's sad for a person to be alone. I hear a lot of people say it. I say it myself because I'm going to try to be big and tough. But let's be honest tonight. Nobody likes to be alone. You might for a little while. We're not made that way. We're not made that way. Somebody asked me lots of times, they say, Brother Danny, you know what? Listen, I've got people around me all the time. I'm always with a gang going somewhere the next few nights. But I'm telling you, if I had to stay home in a house by myself all the time, I'd want to blow my brains out. I don't see how people stand that. I ain't kidding you. I got friends. Chris is there. I'll be honest with you. If she's gone, they're spending my girls off in that house by yourself, that's a rough feeling. That's a rough feeling. It's rough. It's tough. I remember when and the girls was growing up, even just when Chris and Corey, before Corey got married, there's me and Corey and Carissa. You don't think it's stupid, but I remember when they would be gone somewhere, like that hardly ever happened, they were both gone. They'd be both gone to spend the night somewhere or something. I got scared. Like they was going to protect me, you know. I mean, anybody in here know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know your kids can't protect you. It's scary in a house by yourself. Do you know what I'm talking about, Mel? Yeah. My husband Buzz would take care of business if somebody kind of tried to break in, I bet you. We heard him talking about that gun. When was that? Lord have mercy. It was getting plum. I believe some of y'all just dying to shoot somebody. It's getting rough in here. If you missed Sunday school Sunday morning, it was tremendous. They were talking about killing people, breaking in on you. Do you have a right to shoot somebody for breaking in on you? And the answer is? Okay. But don't do like that guy in Texas. Somebody breaking in on his neighbor and he went over and shot him. He sure did. Did you hear about that? He shot two guys because he was breaking in on his neighbor. He's sick of that mess, amen? But what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, about being by yourself. How many single parents we have here tonight? Raise your hand here, single parents. Golly, bum, I want you to look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, my goodness. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. As long as there's somebody, sometimes a dog is better than nobody. Amen? Just a dog. Anybody else? I'm going to say something on that. I'm going to say some more things about it. Go ahead, Brother John. Yeah. Yeah. God made us to be around people. Somebody's weird that wants to go move up on the mountain somewhere and never see it. Sometimes you want to do that. I know. We've all said that. I just like to get away from everybody and never see another person. You say that, but the truth is you want to be around people. You do. You really do. It's inside you. It's instinct. My mom's laying up there tonight. My sister, she's be 76 years old in May. Bless her heart. I'd love for some old rich dude about 95 with a little Hawaiian shirt on and a little sunglasses come and sweep her off her feet. I mean that. I've heard people say, oh, I want my mama's shoes. Yeah, I'd love for some little rich guy to come and sweep my mom off her feet. And if he ain't rich, he can head on down the road. And I can put me in their wheel. Put me in their wheel. But not, seriously speaking, nobody likes being alone. Nobody likes being alone. It's sad. I feel sorry for people. I feel sorry for people that are all by themselves all the time. That's why you need church. You need a church family. Some people are physically not able to have children, to father children or mother children, but you can still have people around you and have a church family. That's why church is so important. Anybody else want to say anything about that? We're not through talking about that. Why you labor? Why you labor? He said, I labor all my life and breathe my soul of good. It's vanity. It's vanity. I work all my life for a house and a car and money and a job and land, and I don't even have nobody to share it with. That's tough. That's tough. We need to pray for each other, that people that are in that shape, that the Lord will help them. Verse 9, look at it. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. I have people all the time say, I'd just soon just live by myself. I don't have nobody to fuss with all the time. You say that for a while, then it starts kicking in. Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now, I preached a sermon on this years ago. I don't know how many of y'all remember it, but I called it, Two Are Better Than One. I believe that's the title of it. Two Are Better Than One. I preached it at New Manna years ago, and I don't know, y'all probably don't remember it. It wasn't that great, but the title of it was Two Are Better Than One. Do you remember it? It really helped me. And you know what? I got to studying that out one time, and I said, the Lord sent them disciples out twos. He made sure when they went out, they went by two. Because two's a lot stronger. Two ain't twice stronger than one. Two's like 10 times stronger than one. What does the Bible say? One of you will chase 1,000, and two will put 10,000 to flight. So two is 10 times stronger than one. You think, well, if you got two, that's twice as strong. No, it's 10 times as strong. We're getting ready to see in a minute, it'll keep you from freezing to death. Their two bodies up against each other have heat. There's been a lot of people kept from freezing to death just by rubbing up against each other. Now, you're really poor and redneck if you was raised where you had to put your back up against your brother, keep him freezing to death at night, or then turn, you know, and then him turn his back, and you do it like, I don't know, I'm not going to ask for who's all done that. But I'm telling you, brother, hadn't you ever been freezing? Or somebody said, ooh, let me put my feet up under your... a man told me one time, he said, my wife drives me crazy. He said, she'll stick them ice cold toes right underneath there. I mean, they feel like a block of ice. Anybody have that problem in here? There's one, there's another. I know Miss Kay's got ice cold toes. Miss Judy ain't got no blood. She has no blood. She's probably freezing right now. But anyway, spiritually speaking, all that's true too. Now he's talking about physically, if one fall, the other can help him up. But woe to him that's alone when he falleth. That's why you stay in church, people. That's why you stay in church even if you don't want to go to church. Even if your heart's not it, you go anyway. Because when you fall, there'd be some brother and sister there to help you get back up. Now, Brother Jason will get up and sing that song, In the Savior's Hand. I'll get up and preach, and we'll help you get back up. But woe to him that's alone when he falleth. You know that old commercial? I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, that's that verse right there. That's that verse. Now, some of y'all need one of them spiritual life alert. You can just punch a button right here and it calls the preacher. That'd be a good thing. We need to put it on all these young people. Put a little thing right here. And when you get in trouble and the devil tempts you, my phone be ringing off the hook. Amen. All right, I got ahead of myself. Right, somebody talk on that verse. Anybody? Two are better than one. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Go ahead, brother. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yep. I've went out by myself before. But you know why the Lord don't... It's not that He don't want you to. You know why He wants you to go out two and two? Because if you go out by yourself, you get scared, you get intimidated, you get... you quit too soon. You go on bus route by yourself, you'll get about half your route done. That's about the way it works. There ain't nobody there to make you feel guilty if you don't go see all the kids. Two are better than one. That's right. And plus, if me and Jason or me and Brother Andy, if we went out and knocked on doors and I'm with him, I don't know. You're just more bold when you got somebody with you. Plus, when you're sitting in there talking to a man, you got two of you, he feels a little bit more intimidated instead of the other way around. Plus, your partner plays with the babies. You know, how many of you have been on visitation and this little brat's running down, hey, mom, and all you got to do is say, come here, honey, let me show you something. Looky here. You show them your watch, doing anything, while the other person's witnessing to daddy. We used to go to people's house and I used to tell them this all the time, say, if you go to somebody's house and start witnessing to them, they're watching TV, you start saying, well, the Bible says here, you know, and the Bible says, do you mind if I turn that down a little bit? And they say, oh, no. And you say, well, the Bible says, you know, click, oh, that's a little bit too far. Then you just sit down there and talk to them. Well, and the other one can pray. Oh, Lord, help them. While you witness, two are better than one. Two's all, I mean, my goodness. If I'm going to move this pulpit, two is really better than one. If I'm going to pray, it's hard for me to come down here and pray late night or an hour or something by myself. But if Brother Jason's here, I can do it a whole lot easier. A whole lot easier. Now, it's getting youth rally time. And it's maybe we've seen a little spark getting us ready. We're going to start having prayer meetings and stuff. Ladies, I want y'all to get you a prayer party and start meeting and praying during the week. But it's a whole lot better if you got a prayer partner. Somebody pray with you. Anybody? Anybody want to say anything? I've got to hurry up here. Anybody? Two are better than one. Very, very great Bible truth. Very simple Bible truth. Another thing is husbands and wives. Most people that make it past 35 and 40 years of marriage, go ahead and stick it out. And that dangerous time in there is from your first year on up to maybe first 50 or when your kids get grown. And then if you make it in, they go ahead and stick, because two are better than one. I've heard people say, after you gather that many years, you start thinking alike. I've even heard them say, you start looking alike. Like you have a dog for a long time, your dog looks like you. Or you like to look like the dog. I've heard people say, well, boy, they think alike. They look alike. They've been together so long. That's true. A lot of older people are like that. Two are better than one. God made us. God made us. I hear a lot of parents say, let's start my daughter get big. First time a boy ever comes around, I'll blow his brains out. Listen, God made us. To be attracted to the opposite sex, to our kids. Now, if they're young and they're wicked or whatever, I'm not saying just let them do anything, but it's natural. It's natural. God put it inside you. It's natural. The only thing you're supposed to do is keep it in the bounds of doing right and not do wrong. There's nothing wrong with a girl liking boys. There's nothing wrong with a boy liking girls, as long as it's kept and not a sinful relationship. Now, two are better than one. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. I mean, duh. Remember that? I'll tell you a wild story if you want to read it sometime. I wouldn't believe it if it wasn't in the Bible. When King Solomon was getting ready to die, he was about ready to die, and they went and got a fair young virgin and stuck her in the bed with him. Is that in the Bible or not? I mean, David, I'm sorry. King David. And he got no heat. He was dead. He's almost dead. And they thought, well, if we lay that girl beside him, he'll warm up. Don't look at me like that. I'm telling you, that's in the Bible. I'm not trying to sound dirty or nothing. I don't know why God put that in there. Go ahead, Brother Charles. Yeah, I'm sorry. I said Solomon. It was David. Solomon had 1,000. He didn't need them to do that. But old King David, they thought, well, you know, he'll warm up a little bit. And he didn't, man. His blood done quit flowing. But that book said two are better than one. Listen to this. If they lie together, then how they can't have heat. How can one be warm alone? They have an electric blanket. They didn't have electric blankets then. That's what they'd say nowadays. You got an electric blanket. I knew an old man, an old woman one time, and somebody bought him, she's always freezing to death, and he's always burning up. And somebody bought him one of them electric blankets for Christmas that's hype and hype, you know? You heard of them? You got a button, and you can have hype at it, just cool. The other hype. And she kept turning it up. She was turning his side. She was burning him up. She said, "Man, I'm still freezing." Kept turning it up higher and higher and higher. He was over there sweating, throwing the cover off of him. She's about to cook him. But before they come out with electric blankets, you had to snuggle up against each other. Anybody, right quick? Wow. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of little kids froze to death hadn't been about four in a bed. I mean, some of y'all kids don't know what it's like to have to sleep with a brother and sister. How many of you had to do that growing up? Yeah. Everybody used to have to do that. I mean, the world's so stupid and perverted now, people want to make something dirty out of everything. But back then, that's the only way people knew how to stay alive. Amen? And today's your birthday, right, Phyllis? And you're going to sing a song? Okay. As soon as I get through, you be ready. Okay. All right. Verse 12. But if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord, man, you get three, you really bad, is not quickly broken. That's a verse I use about divorce on my teachings on divorce. The Bible teaching, I always teach that a marriage is threefold. We'll get into this sometime. Marriage is threefold. Marriage is physical, of course. Marriage is spiritual, God honor, and marriage is legal. Legal. You have to get it legal at the courthouse. And a divorce is when those people are separated physically, when one deserts the mate, they're separated spiritually, God said for fornication, and they're separated legally. A judge signs a document. Threefold cord snapped. That's what a divorce is. People say, "Will you do something with that thing, somebody?" Who is that? Oh, you must sleep yourself now. Put it on vibrate, y'all. We've heard a donkey. We've heard what is the name of that song? She's got it, baby, she's got it. Down, 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 down. What is that? Venus. That's what that is. Listen. Bible said that if a threefold cord is not quickly broken, we'll study that again sometime. A lot of people say, "Well, we're just living together, so we're married in the sight of God." No, you ain't. You're shacking up. You're shacking up. It's legal. It's got to be legal. Legal. In other countries, if there's no laws against shacking up, then they are married. It's when two bodies come together, the two shall be one flesh. A lot of people say when two bodies join together, that's a marriage. That's a physical marriage. That's a third one, but it ain't a legal marriage. Amen? We ain't got time to get into all that. All right. Verse 13. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king. Boy, isn't that's great, man. That's tremendous. A poor little old smart kid is better than an old stupid king who will no more be admonished. For out of the prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. I considered all the living which walk under the sun with the second child that shall stand up instead, the man that's coming after the king, whoever's coming after. And his son, by the way, turned out to be a nut. I believe it was Rehoboam, the son that took his place. Verse 16, there is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this is vanity and vexation of spirit. He just said one generation comes, another dies. People just keep coming across the scene. It's just a big vanity and vexation. Without heaven, without hell under the sun, it's just a big waste. Anybody, right quick, and we'll be through. All right. I'm going to stop right there tonight. We're going to pray, and when we do...